I was asked to give Dhamma talk tonight, and I accepted. It is a privilege. I have to prepare, I have to do my homework. And during the preparation of it, I found out that today is the 7th of February, which is the date of the, today is the date that my mother passed away 9 years ago. Yeah, very interesting. So I will try my best in order to be able to send this merit by doing of giving a Dhamma talk to her wherever she is. Yeah, so much gratitude to her. And then I look at seeing her, it reminds me of a book I just read. It's just a couple pages only. And the title of that book was The Coffin Man. He is a more, what is it? Coffin Man, he is the one who prepared the corpse to put it before, put into the coffin. One or two pages scare me already, you know. And then because of my mom, when she died, before we put into the coffin, I cleansed, all the children cleaned her body. And that's remind me of that, you know. And I keep thinking of my mother, and today my mother, that go back to that book. I couldn't read that book, the whole thing, you know, just only maybe half of the book. This is some kind like how the Japanese people prepare the corpse before they put into the coffin. It deal a lot about the tradition. Yeah, so it's not our topic today, just only from knowing that today is my mother anniversary, death anniversary. That's what, go back to that thing a little bit. I would like to share with you the experience I earned during this winter retreat, just half part already. First of all was to be liaison, sangha liaison between the team, lay supporter team, and the sangha. I learned a lot through that. Number one is to really appreciate the one who did that for me able to practice during the last 17 years without knowing how hard it is. This is my first time, so it's not hard, but the thing is you want to do it perfect. You want to be able to serve when there is a need, urgent need. Yeah. So I have to be prepared. Like every morning I have to have breakfast over there in case of any lay guest need, you see. So be there all the time, be present. And to make sure that any problem that happened be solved right away rather than waiting. Because for them to serve the Sangha community, I think I owe them, because of them that I able to practice seriously. So I took care and make sure that their service was appreciated, and also when they leave this area, they also get something for them in their daily life. Yeah. So I can use that once a week we have a meeting, and then during the meeting that I can we share the feeling. So any problem, any feeling, unpleasant feeling or neutral feeling, then I saw that and I pick up, and you know, during the time that in the breakfast time or after the meal or something like that, to make sure that the problem, the first conflict when it's small, have to solve before, don't wait too long. The longer we wait, the more the conflict become bigger. Yeah. And then I learned how to use the estranged for you to hear this, to use the mobile phone to make sure that I knows it. So I asked somebody, feel uneasy to ask, because world now is a world of mobile phone. Not knowing how to press here and there feel embarrassing. But I have to know it, I have to do it, so I ask. Yeah. And then a couple of days, I did not hear any calling phone. I said, maybe that, you know, the button, I have to leave it open. But when there was no call, then it shut off completely. I said, how can people call in? So after 1 week, I couldn't. At night, I have to recharge the battery. Yeah, make sure that all full, and when people call, and then learn how to handle when there is emergency. Yeah, so all of those things I learn. Yeah, and then after all, I enjoy that. I really enjoy after 1 month over, and I really enjoy the result from my doing. Yeah. I hope you also enjoy my time with you too. At the start, I say I'm on a learning curve. Anything happen, please let me know. And if I can help, I can help. If I cannot, then I ask somebody else to help. Yeah. So I pray to the Lord Buddha for not having any obstacle during my time. Yeah. And then try to follow. This is my daily routine that I like to share with you, how I practice. Something's good, you can take it. It's not good, let it be. Let's see my time. Okay. During the group practice, I determined not to miss any sitting or walking. Yeah, always be present. And Ajahn Amaro is my, I really have some kind like a tremendous appreciation, gratitude to him for his be present all the time. If you want to rest maybe an hour and you see the abbots there, you don't dare to, you know. Yeah, so I manage not to be absent. Yeah, that's so good. My source of inspiration. Yeah. And then after that group practice, at night I still take, you see, during daytime, don't have time to do anything else, just practicing, sitting, walking. Sometimes I sit for a long time, 2 hours or 3 hours, depend, yeah. It's so good to be able to do that. And then at night, after the puja at night, from 8:30 until 9:30 or 10 o'clock, I went to bed, because I have to make sure that I have to wake up early morning around 3:30 or 4 in order to be here before 5 o'clock. So no time to do other things. But 1 hour, during that hour, I listened to Dhamma talk. I realize that we are so rich nowadays comparing with a long time ago. You have now this year, I had iPad, I have iPod, 2 iPods, not only one. But my usage is limited. I know that those are my enemy. Yeah. Because I get hooked to it, you know, very quick. Before I got the computer, during winter retreat, I put the computer far away. So when I want to access it, I say, oh, too much to find here and there, or have to climb in the ladder to get it. That's a way how to decrease my addiction to the usage of the computer. And now I have those things. They have all kinds of programs in there. But the only thing I need in there is to listen to Dhamma talk. There are so many Dhamma talk. And I have also registered also the Vinaya, the suttas, and the Abhidhamma. Two of them were in my language, Cambodian language. You see, when you study Abhidhamma, it, your own language is the language of the heart. And if I want to study that, your character, your behavior in my language is much better than in English. Yeah, so I got all kind of that recorded. Yeah. So I have to use wisely. At night, if I listen, I have to time it. Sometimes I listen 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes I wake up like nowadays, wake up maybe 3 o'clock, and the mind keep wandering, thinking of this and that. It's a waste of time here. So I turn on the iPod to listen to the iPod. One iPod just only the Pitaka. Yeah. And one of them only Abhidhamma and Vinaya. So I like to save that, use 2 of them, because I do not want to search. Maybe the next day I go back and then I try to find something else. I want to have a continuation of it. So that's what I did. So sometimes I lie down. If the mind keep wandering, listen. Sometimes I listen to that, I'm half asleep. This is not good thing. Yeah, not good thing. So now at night, I have to time it. You would 1 hour is good enough. Let turn it off and go to bed to make sure that I wake up early morning healthy. And in the early morning, 5 o'clock, because we have no puja here, 4 o'clock get up, have a cup of tea, and then study. Sit down on a chair and study the Dhammapala, which tonight I'm going to share with you some of the. Sorry that I read with, really, I like it. Yeah, and would like to share with you. That's good enough an hour before the meal, before the breakfast. Then after the breakfast, the stomach is full, so it's wiser to walk. So sometimes I walk, or sometimes I sit down, meditate in my room. Yeah, before walking here and there, you know, that I use it as a walking meditation. And nowadays, I make an effort during the good weather, I walk in the field, you know, determined maybe 3 rounds. That's good enough. It may be equal to 1 mile. And the next day, increase it. I used to walk there about 10 rounds, yeah. So sometime I walk in our area, in the Nuns Vihara, around there, 10 times around the Lotus Vihara, yeah. So just try to find ways to occupy, and it is so good, because back in my mind, that I am spending instead of money, I spend my life. This is something so good, something my life. Yeah, I have been spending my life for 76 years already. Yeah, so how many more that I can spend? You know, someday, this body may be gone. So how many more years? So time for me now is very precious, more than anything else. Yeah. So when I'm doing something, if people talk too much, I walk away. I say, I cannot stand with it. I try to talk less to make sure I understand and then have the work done. No time to chat much. This is, and then I see my character is a warrior character. Yeah. The warrior, you know, you prepare thing, you go out there to win the battle, not to lose. And that's my character. Yeah. Then I remember when I was in high school, I used to be like that. I used to be, if I cannot walk, then I stay home, not to go to school. But if I can walk, I go. Even with the fever a little bit, I go. I never stay home. Yeah, that kind of character. Yeah. So it is really, I like this kind. But when I talked with Sister Chittapala, she said, with defilements, you know, you have to embrace, you know, and talk it nicely. For me, you are defilement. You better out from my mind. And I time you, you know. If today, tomorrow, if you're not going, I have to do something. Yeah. If I sit down after maybe half hour, backache, I say, is it something, a real backache or the mind backache? Yeah. I ask like that. You know, when I start to meditate, this is the way I handle from sitting 30 minutes and with 6 hours, like you swim, you know, in the Olympic swimming pool. You cannot swim, you know, you swim one or two rounds each day and you increase. The end, you also can swim 100 rounds. Yeah, that's how I use that thing. If you ask me what kind of regret that I am right now, the regret that I have is not to be able to learn Pali. Because I really not want to learn Pali very much, because I want to read the original one, the Pitaka, written in Pali language. Even though I learned how to chant, because it's very hard to chant the Pali, to learn to chant in Pali language. Even though my language is Cambodian language, it's a mixture of Sanskrit and Pali. So I learned it fast, learned to memorize fast, as I think, through knowing each word in there is like the root word that I know what to talk about. Yeah. I don't know the whole translation, but a couple words in there that I know this chanting is for this. Yeah. Because I know, I remember when I was in high school, I memorized everything. Memorized everything during the last exam, you know, like baccalaureate degree, the 12th grade, you have to take a big exam before you go into university. I have no time. I memorized the whole thing. Have no time to think when the subject come in, sit down and write. By the time I finish, time's up. That's how my memory can work during that time. Getting old, the memory starting to forget. But I don't know why. This year, I thought that most of the chanting I memorized, I forget most of them. I'm some kind of unhappy for myself. The chanting, the Dhammaja, you know, it came back. I said, oh, wow, it's come back. Yeah, because I'm some kind of happy that sometimes a couple sentence in that I forgot. So I went back, I checked, and then I memorized that a couple of them in that whole chanting. Yeah, I'm quite happy. So when the time that I have nothing else to do, then you to train my mind to remember things, I train like, you know, when we were ordained, the preceptor gave us the technique how to meditate on the 32 part of the body. You know, backward, forward. And I use my time here. Like, I wake up 5 o'clock, and now 7 o'clock. So from 7 minus 1 minute, 2 minute, 3 minute, what I did do, go back to 5 o'clock, back and forth. And that, it's working. That's what I told you now, it's working. And then you know how to train the mind to remember. I learned it from reading newspaper. Yeah. Then go back to, I have to keep on time. I try, usually I talk only 9 to 9:30, but now tonight I try to expand. So really bear with me, make sure that you're not boring. And then how I memorize. So I encourage each one of us, you know, learn the sutta, so much meaningful. Yeah. When you cannot read, sometimes you have no light, and you remember, like my first one is Ba Hong. You know, this is how that kind, I learn couple sentence each day, and that by the end of the month, I finish, memorize the whole thing. But that one, when the mind going somewhere else, bring that one down, because that one is beautiful. Bring it down. You do not need to finish the whole suttas, just only one or two paragraph of it. Then you analyze it, investigate that, you know. Yeah. And I had a hard time before to study the suttas. I, most of the time, I go into meditation. That's because after reading a few suttas, you feel like that in the Pitaka, the suttas, talking about life during the Lord Buddha time. So I, some kind, I do not like it. Yeah. But when I went to Cambodia, my friends know that I'm lacking of that part, the sutta part. She tried to work with the abbot. How does she introduce me to be able to like to read the suttas? So they select some sutta for me. I remember the first one was sutta number 5. Yeah. So I read and I like it. And I took note. So every time when I came back, I have a book, notebook, 2 or 3 notebooks from reading that. Yeah. And then that reading too, in the sutta, very interesting. This is, explain the first one, negative, all negative, which means that unwholesome things and then wholesome. So I went in, I read only the wholesome one. I ignore the unwholesome, you know, to be able to read fast. So only I need to know how to be a good person, how to do the, you know, keep doing good, wholesome action will lead you to a good meditation. Because I like meditation, so I have to read something in order to correct myself. Yeah, all things, anything that bother the mind. Yeah, so I read, but now, last couple of years, I really like to read all of them. So in my room now, I have short discourse, long discourse, and what else? The other one, the Vinaya. Yeah. Yeah. So when something in my, I don't take it out from my bookshelf. I leave there and I close it. Usually during winter retreat, I'm very strict myself. I just close the whole thing, put some kind of blanket in front of that shelves to make sure that I do not read anything, because I never dare to go to the library because I'm afraid I might pick some book and read. And this is to show you this one, this is just to show you how much I like to meditate, sit down and meditate, you know, all the time. After the meal, in the back room here, sit down there and meditate. Yeah, maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I get out, feel so good. Yeah, and that's how much I like. But now, when you reach to more than 10 years, you need to know something in order to be able to sit down here and talk. So I have to study, you know, and make it understand for myself before I can talk to you. Yeah, so I'm scared before that I sit here. Now it's a little bit scared, but it's much better than before. Yeah, like when I saw Ajahn Sundara, Ajahn Amaro sit down and talk, I said, I wish I can talk like that. I'm not a person like, I am an extroverted person, but not a person who like to talk, you know, especially in front of public. One-to-one is okay. Yeah, but you know, this kind of life, you get used to do things, you not get used to it. And through training, you get used to it. Yeah. And I realize also, we are here, we have the right view already. Tonight, I want to talk about right view. And then I said, it's so boring. You know, I have something more fun. Because we all, I saw each one of us really concentrate, really pay attention, really in tune with the schedule that we put. Like noble silence, not very much. Comparing the group, the support team is so well tuned into the some kind that what we should do, what we should not do in the monastery is really, really good. Yeah. And also the more we carry in each year, we have that, we have the some kind like skill to select people in order to be able to learn and to serve. Yeah. And it's good that I think of the guest nun and guest monk that did a very good job this year. We did not have a problem, much problem to solve. Yeah, and in our Sangha community, also we all, I can see, seriously practice. Yeah. So, my sisters always worry during winter retreat because I always do something that I like to experiment. Sometimes like not to sleep 48 hours or 72 hours. True. You know, the whole night, sit down the whole night for 2 or 3 days without spending the day without laying down. Yeah. And then skip lunch or one meal a day. That's all those things that I managed to be able to. One thing that I didn't do it was tudong. Yeah, it's too late now, too old to walk. Yeah, walk too far. Yeah, so. The thing is, I like you to try to make I make my practice is so some kind like a lot of variety, because in order to train the mind, I think again. This year, tomorrow is New Year, Chinese New Year, is monkey year. And I simulate the mind, we usually do like monkey mind, never can stay still. So we have to know how to change the topic in your practice, in your work. Make sure that the mind like it. But the mind like only like the exercise that I usually do for the beginners of the meditation, two exercises. One is to be able, you are the doer, and the second one, you are observer. Through that too, you can see how the mind run. You know, when you fox the mind, you follow through the doer, you tell the mind, you follow the inhale for me from point A to point B. Follow all the time. Every time when I breathe in, breathe out, you follow it. Then you see, after a while, the mind strike. I don't want to do it. It's tiring. Yeah. And then you change. You change. Okay, if you don't want to run after the mind run after the breath in, now you stay in one place. So what can you do? Your job. Can you stay in one place? And the job is to observe. Notice that when you breathe in, you know it's in. You know when it's in. And out, you know out. Just only that much. Oh, the mind happy. You see how you make the mind in tune with you so that we able to tame the mind. Yeah. And then, after a while, again, I don't like it. I like to hop around, see somewhere outside. Yeah? Okay? Now you don't want, I cannot do it because I tied the mind in one place and the job is to do, just inhale, you notice the inhale, you notice the exhale, or sometimes you lose the noise, you say hearing, or sometimes you smelling, you know. So that I still not happy. The mind not happy. It's monkey mind, see? And then try again, give another one to do. The mind say, right now, I stop giving anything to the mind, and the mind made object. Yeah, the mind invented. Yeah, so that's reason why when the mind is calm, then the mind makes something, some object, mind-made object. Then people after the meditation feel so happy because I can see God, I can see Buddha, I can go to the beach, all kinds of things. Then when they come and talk to me, and I ask, why do you need to close your eyes in order to see all of those? You open your eyes. Why you need to meditate to see all of those? You know, they say, did it make sense to see the Buddha? I don't see any make sense. Or if that one come again and again and again, maybe you should take that one, investigate it. Yeah, if it come once a while, forget it. Because all the things that made by the mind are not real. Yeah, so don't believe that, don't trust it. Maybe 3% real. So you don't ignore it, yeah. And then the mind gave up and calm for us. This is through the five main thoughts laid out by Ajahn Lee. You start with vitaka, vichara, and then piti, and then sukha, and akakata. The five steps, yeah. Then that I follow all the time, that one. And it's much easier for the little kid who come here. I will show them how. So how can you breathe in? Once you can breathe in, can you count until you know the end of the breath in? One, 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 one. And at the end, you change it two, two, two. So the kids learn how to see the breath in and breath off. Yeah? So that. And then we have so many techniques nowadays. People gave meditation workshop, all kinds of things, all kinds of teacher. And we have to check in ourselves. Check in ourselves. How do we check in ourselves? To see whether we still have that, is this mine? This is I? If death still exists in there, you better refine your, maybe redirect your meditation technique to make sure that your meditation going right. Yeah. So I sometimes was disappointed myself. I cry. I have been spending day in and out work so hard. Then the result, I don't go anywhere. I still, this is mine. Don't touch. You know, this kind of thing that still bother me. Yeah. And then the story that I read in the Dhammapala, there were two person. This is my also my habit, not to learn to know their name. Yeah, sometimes beautiful, but I say A B is good enough. You know, because my background is mathematics, so I don't care about what not necessary. I simplify the problem before I solve it. That's the way I used to do. So the two person came in and asked Lord Buddha for the meditation object, as in order to be able to liberate themselves from the suffering. And the Buddha gave to them, and they went. They said, this is do, this is not do, do not do, not do, do. So this is what you can do, this is what you cannot do. All of those, busy all the time. So one of them came, one enlightened, become an arahant, and the other one has some problem and went to see the Lord Buddha. Say, I thought that outside life there is very busy, of finding food to nurture the body and the mind. And in the monastery also very busy. I think so, I better disrobe and go to the lay life. So the Lord Buddha asked, what makes you busy? I'm so busy to keep the mind, to guard the mind. The mind always wants this, do, not do. Too much, I cannot handle it. So, don't disrobe. I give you one. If you can do it, then you say, what is the one? Can you guard your mind? Yes, I can do it, just only guard the mind. And so he did. And finally, I think he did not disrobe. He continued on. It's not easy, guard the mind, you see. Guard the mind all the time. Yeah. I realize it. I have one more story to tell you, and very good story. And I can make the conclusion later in order to, it is in another style, in order to give you the conclusion and work through. And this way, this story here start with during the Lord Buddha time. A king of Naga, his name is Erakapatta. You know, he try to find ways how he can be a human being. So during the time that he was in Naga is a, what you call Naga, you understand Naga? Naga is some kind like a king or cobra, or, you know, dragon. You can see that. Yeah, it's king of Naga. He has a beautiful daughter, princess. And he wants to use her as a mean to find the Lord Buddha. Yeah? Yeah. And then each week, twice a week, they have his daughter dress beautifully and dance and have some question. There are four questions to ask people. Whoever can solve, can answer to those four questions and be her husband. Yeah? So many of them came, but none can be her husband. There was one day, the Lord Buddha, usually, I think the third watch, he looked at the world to see whoever today that he can save, which means that he can help them to realize it. So he saw, in his view, he saw a young man. His name is Uttara. He's on the way to go to the contest in order to win the heart of that princess. So the Lord Buddha, he went there through his psychic power, and stop him on the way. Where are you going? I'm going there. So he knows that that person, if he can teach something to him, he will be successful on the first degree of arahatship, like Sotapanna. Yeah. So he stopped him. He had all the answer that princess of the question of the princess. Get all the answer and give him some more in case if she asked. And then the Lord Buddha left. He went to that princess. So the princess have four questions. The first one is, who is a ruler? Who is a ruler? Then Uttara can answer. The ruler, a ruler is the one who can control the six senses. Right. Good. Second question. Is it a ruler is the one who can overwhelm the in the midst of moral defilements? And the answer, yes. It's not that kind of ruler. A ruler is the one who can control the craving. So it's right again, yeah? So what the ruler can do in that case, and the ruler can overwhelm the moral defilements. And the last question was, what kind of person that we call as a fool? A fool. And the answer is a person who enjoy sensual pleasure. Pass. And the Lord Buddha knows, before he gave the thing to him, knows that that person, Uttara, already enlightened being. Therefore, he has no interest in that woman. You see? And then for the benefit of mankind, other people, he stay in, say some more time with her, and then she start to sing. And then sing with question. And that kind of question can also answer by Uttara. Her father, during that time, the Naga, he can disguise himself into a human being. He went and he asked, Uttara, can you take me? Who teach you that? Because the father knows that question is a question of a person, because the Naga was monk, you know, was monk. You know, so he knows that kind of question. Whoever can answer that is a question, is can, you know, is from the Lord Buddha. So he asked Uttara to take him to see the Lord Buddha. When he met the Lord Buddha, he paid respect and he told the Lord Buddha the story that he was a monk during the Buddha Kassapa, named Kassapa, and he misconfessed one minor offense. And during minor offense, he told the Lord Buddha that during that time he has a trip to go somewhere by boat, and the boat cut through the grass, make that grass broken, and he keep worry all the time from that minor offenses. So when he die, he go into animal realms. Yeah, the Lord Buddha said that after he finished the story, the Lord Buddha said, oh, no wonder to be born as a human being is difficult and rare. Yeah? And the story stopped there. The second one is also hard and rare to be a mortal, have a life. You know, like a ghost, we come out, have a life back. It's very hard to be that. The third one is a rare and difficult to be born in the time where you have listened to Dhamma talk like this. So you already have that opportunity. And the fourth one is also rare and difficult to be born in the time where there is a Lord Buddha. And thus gave that thing, the title of that story was, there are four important rare opportunity. And it was in verses 182 in Dhammapala book, if you want to read more. And that's about the story. So I would like to conclude tonight's talk to wish you all have a wonderful half more time, the 1 month and a half, to practice, enjoy your practice, enjoy what are you doing, and enjoy your liberation, which comes soon. Amen. Mm-hmm.